Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to Red Men News. We are here. It's Thursday, the 7th of November, did you say?
Yes.
Lovely. And we're here to talk about Liverpool Football Club again.
Yes.
Which is what we like to do, isn't it, Ross?
Yes.
And I am joined by Ross, aren't I?
Yes.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for joining us. We've got loads of stuff to talk about today, but we are backed by The Athletic, and you can get 50% off your yearly subscription by going to www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews, making it around about £2.50 a month. As ever, we know and we bang this drum because we believe it. They have some of the best football writers in the world writing for them. It's a great platform, some really interesting stuff. And one of the stories today, Ross, is Simon Hughes, a mate of ours, has done a story on Adam Morgan, and it's a really interesting story, isn't it? And the timing of it's quite nice because there's quite a lot in there about Raheem Sterling before the Manchester City game. I'm going to draw your attention to one thing, but it's a great article, isn't it, first and foremost?
Yes.
Nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it is. You said we banged about it yesterday, but we've done so many when we do these. There are always different types of news stories, and that's what we like about it. It's different. Like, and I said this the other day on one of those shows, like, if you want your breaking news, obviously you can go and get that, but this is more in depth, more well-rounded. Like, we did one the other day that was about, like, the cop and how that developed and where he got his name from. But I've gone back to this one. There's so many different things. And first of all, I didn't even recognise Adam Morgan, but then it goes into the depth about, like, when he did the Being Liverpool stuff and, you know, Rodgers telling him to be more like Sterling, how different paths they've taken and where he is now, where Sterling is now, how good Suarez was when he was at Liverpool, how good he was with the young ones, and how difficult it is to probably progress at Liverpool. You know, it probably seems easier on the outside,
yeah,
doesn't
listen,
it?
There'll be young fans there who don't remember Adam Morgan, but, you know, he grew up through Liverpool's academy and now he's playing, like, for Widnes, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a mad thing. And
but he was touted, wasn't he, to the next Fowler?
He absolutely was. He had a lethal left foot, did Adam Morgan. One of the things that I wanted to draw your attention to is this quote from the article. He thinks the documentary series may have sent out the wrong message about Sterling, who really was setting the agenda, set the agenda around him for years to come. He was anything but a spoilt brat, and this Morgan, who in turn found new expectations upon him. So she's talking about being Liverpool, if you remember it, and Rodgers maybe hung Sterling out to dry a little bit on being Liverpool. And I do wonder whether that did set the agenda, actually, for how Sterling's spoken about in the news nowadays.
Yeah, there was no... You say steady again and whatever it was, and he had a little back and forth, you'll be on the next plane back. And that was all it really was. Maybe it's just been blown up because of how good he is now. And that's a piece of evidence of his time at Liverpool that was kind of behind the scenes doing probably a piece of work they've actually got. Probably, and then again, it probably doesn't help when, you know, going to a rival team in the Premier League is never good, but you can't say, like, when he was at Liverpool. Speaking for myself, I was probably annoyed because I knew how good he was. Mm. And you don't want to ever see one of those players leave your club, and Liverpool aren't in that position anymore. But back then, we were. City had all the money, he wanted to go and win stuff, and he has done. So, you know, looking back at it now, you can't really argue with it. And he's one of the best players in the Premier League.
Unfortunately, he is. Mm. It is what it is. We'll move on to some of the Liverpool Manchester City stuff. Before we get into the news, though, as seems to be the way nowadays, Sky Sports News have put out a combined Liverpool and Manchester City 11. So before we go through the combined Liverpool and Manchester City 11 with you, I want you to put yours into the comments section for us, and Sio's going to pick up some of the best ones, or the worst ones, or the average ones.
Based on form, or injuries, or...
Let's base it on everybody's fit and available, just to make it easy for everybody.
Yep.
Everybody's fit and available. Who is your strongest combined Liverpool and Manchester City 11? The goalkeeper, Sky Sports, have gone with Alisson.
It's Matthew Upson, isn't it?
Matthew Upson it is indeed, yeah. Former West Ham centre-back, among other teams. You go through the defenders and I'll go to midfield.
Yeah, Trent right-back, can't really argue with that. Matip, obviously, He's injured. But still, City got a lot of injuries and it's hence playing midfield, is it? It's centre back right now, so I don't know. Virgil van Dijk, cert. Andrew Robertson, cert.
Yeah, and then they've got the midfield. A monopoly on the midfield. There's been five Liverpool players so far, and they've got De Bruyne, Fernandinho and David Silva. And then up front, Sterling, Aguero and Mane. So no place for two of the front three. No place for Roberto Firmino. It's debatable, isn't it? Aguero's, you know, we're gonna get loads and loads of teams of the decades over the next couple of months. He may be one of the signings of the decade, Sergio Aguero.
100%. I think we did something yesterday. I was talking to a Manchester City fan. It's just his consistency. And even when he doesn't have a good game or he doesn't touch the ball for 60, 70 minutes, he just needs that one chance. And that's a sign of a world-class striker. For me, he's done it to us plenty of times before.
Yeah. Sterling, Salah. And they've gone with... Oh, Matthew Upson's gone with Sterling there. What are your thoughts on that one?
If he's done it on recent form, maybe, because Sterling's been banging the goals and his form's been pretty incredible. It's hard to argue with that, but as has Mane's for Liverpool. Salah's probably slightly overshadowed. I know he got an assist in midweek and stuff like that, but people are saying he's not on recent form by his own high standards. But then again, he takes people out of the game, so it's, you know, it's all right with these combined 11s, but it depends what system you want to play, because you could probably make a case for Bobby Firmino in there as well and the work that he does, but maybe he's not as good as finishes as Aguero, but you could chuck him in there. I'd just play five up front.
Yeah, I mean, it very much looks like City's attack, Liverpool's defence at the moment. And, you know, Fernandinho's been a brilliant player for them. Personally, I think Fabinho's a better player right now than Fernandinho. It's hard to argue with Kevin De Bruyne. It's hard to argue with David Silva if he's fit as well, if I'm honest. The Sterling one, though, I'm not sure he even plays there. Like, I thought he played more in Mane's position than on that right-hand side. And as such, I definitely have Salah in there and then toss a coin about Aguero. We'll move on to some news anyway. And we are talking about Salah, actually. And Phil Thompson, former Liverpool captain, won the European Cup with us, captained us to that twice. Has been talking about Mo Salah, and he says that his ankle injury is slowing him down at Liverpool. He was also a caretaker boss for us, the number two boss under Gerard Houllier. Former Reds caretaker boss has raised concerns about the impact of the Egypt international since his injury. Liverpool legend Thompson is concerned Salah has not been playing up to his usual high standards. The Egyptian suffered an ankle injury, which we know about. It's a concern. The ankle injury that he had, it's just that push off the mark. It doesn't look as if he's free-flowing, Thompson told Sky Sports. He's just not getting away from people, as you have seen that burst of speed. He's getting away, but it's only within tackling distance. His shooting certainly wasn't on target against Genk, and maybe he's saving them all for something. Let's hope that he is saving them all for something, Ross. I had a really interesting chat with Neil Jones on the newsroom this morning, available on the redmantv.com. £5 a month, first month is free, 30 hours of free entertainment. For that £5, you can keep it or you can fuck it off after that 3 month, do what you want. I had a really interesting chat with Neil Jones about it, and he actually thinks that Salah is in poor form. I'm not so sure personally, but what are you thinking?
Finishing, maybe. I do agree with Phil Thompson on that. Obviously, we went to the Genk game on Saturday and he had a couple of chances. I think there was one where he got through and it was a difficult bounce. And he kind of seemed to snatch at it. Aston Villa again, he was resorted into, you know, twatting one from 25 yards and it was going all over the place. Maybe just a lack of confidence. I still think in terms of what I said before of taking people out of the game, and we saw his Genk goal away. We got between 3-4 people, gets away from him and puts it in. The guy's just being man-marked. But it's also a consequence of, you know, Mane's in prolific form, banging in the goals. Well, is that because three people are taking on Salah out of a game? There is all the concern as well. Like, again, I know it's an individual game where he had opportunities to pass. But is that a criticism of him wanting to score? Maybe it is when you're 1-0 up and you want to put the game to bed and stuff, you're thinking, be a bit more rounded for the team and stuff. But, you know, he wants that goal to kind of set him off for the rest of the season.
I mean, it's possible that Salah could be involved in, what, 50 games this season? As it stands right now, he's got 13 goals. So, 8 goals and 5 assists, in 16 competitive fixtures. Say that, times that by 3, 16, 32, 48. Then he'd have 24 goals and 15 assists.
For a winger.
It doesn't sound like bad form.
That's what I mean.
It just doesn't sound like what we've seen of Salah. It
doesn't sound like twice Golden Boot winner on the Roma Amatel form. It's happened before where he's loads of lessons to every player where they're quiet spells and stuff. But you've also got to take into account that like last week he definitely didn't train. and he was having fluid drain from his ankle. Therefore, the only practice he's really getting is in the warm up and then during the game time. So maybe that's where he's misfiring shots and stuff. He's he shouldn't do because he's a really good footballer. But maybe having that extra bit of practice going into a game is affecting him. Maybe, I don't know. Or maybe he's just saving it for Sunday. Maybe Phil Thompson's
hopefully
right.
He is. Hopefully he's just saving it for Sunday. Sadio Mane says, "I do not dive," in response to Pep Guardiola. We're on Pep Guardiola, not Guardiola. We're on Empire of the Cop here. Liverpool forward Sadio Mane has taken Pep Guardiola's diving accusation pretty well by joking about it in a recent interview. Obviously, Pep said he sometimes scores and sometimes dives, but Mane has now hit back. He says, "If the dive will give me a penalty, then I will do it. Why not? But what Jürgen said is correct. I do not dive." He's quoted the same by The Guardian. "There was contact at Villa for sure. Maybe it was not a penalty and he didn't give it and he gave me a yellow card. To be honest, I don't have any problem about it. It's what I want to keep doing. If I get a penalty, yeah, it's a penalty. If no, no penalty. But it will never change the way I'm playing or the way I do things. The only thing I can say, I will be sure ready for the team to give everything possible and to help my team. I think it's a bit clever from him. Blah, 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 blah." Do you think he dives?
Dive's a strong word. Make the most of challenges, yes. It's that dark. Well, this is a dark art. So if your player does it, you love it. Someone else does it against you, you hate them. But like you said, if there's contact, why wouldn't it go down? Things look worse in super slow motion. I said, like, I hate it when people do it to us, but it happens.
Yeah, we saw one given against Michael Keane for Everton where he just stood on a player's foot and the penalty was given. But it was exactly the same as what happened to Sadio Mane. Sadio Mane threw himself to the ground after the contact.
Yeah, going down theatrically didn't help. But I think there's also a case of the Everton one. I think it happened in another game. And Sadio Mane is why it has to be so black and white. Why can't there be a coming together in the penalty and it not be a dive and not be a free kick? Why can't you just play on in that sense? So Mane gets kicked. But we saw the week before, obviously he gets himself in between the ball and the man. He gets kicked and he goes down. It was Arsenal, I think it was. And he goes down.
I want players to go down because I think referees need to see someone fall over to give a penalty. Because just as and you're right here, just as a coming together might not be a penalty, it might not be a dive, there are times when fouls are made that should be given. Yeah. You know what I mean? So and in that instance, the player needs to go down.
But some of those, like say the Manny one, I meant to say Tottenham before, not Arsenal, where he gets kicked and he's not given or he's given for a dive, that could easily just be a free kick. But I think...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Referees are hesitant to give penalties, and then I'm not used VAR.
Yeah, that's it.
Or
that's
use it. And use
I
it
don't
properly.
Want to talk about VAR anymore, to be honest with you. Liverpool under 23's boss Neil Critchley set to take Carabao Cup clash with Villa. This isn't confirmed news before anyone jumps on it. Critchley is in line to take charge of the quarterfinal with Aston Villa. As we know, they're travelling to play the Club World Cup in Qatar a day later. Jürgen Klopp is yet to make a decision on who will take charge of the two teams. Why the headline then, boys? With the logistics meaning he's likely to be in the dugout for both. It makes sense to me, and Pep Linders is obviously in the conversation. Neil Critchley, Barry Lewin, is it?
Barry Lutus.
Those two guys are already being the manager of teams, and they took obviously the youth league and stuff like that. So I think it's important that they probably do it. Pep Linders has taken press conferences, but he's not actually managed the team, and the book hasn't stopped with Pep while he's been at Liverpool, has it?
No, and it's ultimately it's their team. Yeah. Neil Critchley, you know, they know the players, they know how they play, they can talk to them, and it's more comforting for the players to have them in charge, as much as I'm sure they'd love to work with Pep Linders and Jurgen Klopp, but having that normality and, you know, that relationship that they got with those guys, I think, is vitally important. And equally, going into the World Cup Championship of having Pep Linders next to Jurgen Klopp is probably important. You know, there's two games there, and I'm sure it's Peter Kravitz.
Kravitz,
having him there, you know, he could easily have sent Pep Linders and just had those two, but they work as a team as well. And similarly for the first team players, they know them, so it makes sense to me. And it looks like if it is Neil Critchley, then it looks like it's going to be largely youth that will be playing in that competition.
Just another story that I'm just going to add into this. I remember reading something on This Is Anfield yesterday with regards to whether we can actually take players from the Aston Villa game and fly them over to the final. It looks like that's not an option. This Is Anfield are told the squad have to be in place in Qatar a full 3 days prior to the semi-final fixture. If someone isn't there then, they aren't in the squad list for the two-game trip. So we couldn't play like Milner and Ox and Keita in the Villa game and fly them over for the final because of the commitments commercially. There's, you know, videos to be made and interviews to be had, so that we have to have our squad in place on the 15th, I think it is, something like that, before the game, or maybe it's the 16th, I can't remember. So Liverpool are going to have to literally split the squads, and there's going to be no mixing up of that after that happens, which is just an interesting little wrinkle into this one. And it seems stupid. FIFA should understand the situation that we're in, but it doesn't look like they're going to, which is a little bit of a disappointment. Final story before we get into some of the comments then. James Milner sends a message over Liverpool performances ahead of the City clash. This is a really, really good piece by The Mirror, actually. And it's talking, obviously, to James Milner. James Milner's obviously talking about Liverpool's form so far. Milner says the Reds can still improve. I don't think we've played as well as we would have liked, he said in quotes, carried in the club match day programme for the win over Genk. It's been a really solid start, and it's pleasing to say that with the results that we've had this season, but it's never going to be easy. It was always going to be tough coming off the back of a long season, getting to the Champions League final, the most of that, then the season being a bit longer, than players taking part in international football throughout the summer and coming back. That's what he goes on to say, Ross, is that he's happy with the way that Liverpool are grinding out results at the moment. He said it's difficult to play against sides who are dropping deep and defending with all they want, but Liverpool are answering the questions asked of them at the moment, and it's what we've seen as fans all season, isn't it?
Yeah, and towards the back end of last season probably as well, but like you go before that, that was always the frustration of like we kind of rush things and force things. I think as fans, I think I'm still guilty of doing it, of getting maybe half an hour into a game thinking we haven't scored yet, and coming to that point where actually, you know, we're taking our time, we're breaking people down mentally, passing the ball around and just being, you know, just taking our time generally, and then we'll wait for that key moment, that key pass, that lapse of concentration in the opponent, and then we'll do it, and we've shown we can do that. I'm looking forward to the City game because potentially we're going to play a team probably the first time in a couple of weeks that's going to come out and actually play us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's difficult. I've watching Liverpool of past seasons of free-flowing, you know, heavy metal football or whatever, going in winning 3-4-5-0. You want that every week, but you can't do when people are putting 11 players behind the ball. Whereas I think City will actually come out and play, and I think if it's anything like the Etihad game last season, I think it'll be an incredible game to watch. It'll be hard to watch.
Let's get into some of the comments then, mate. Obviously, we've got the build-up shows out this morning. That was out on the normal Red Men TV YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed to that, do go over, subscribe to that. We've got the starting 11. We'll be going out on the Red Men TV YouTube channel live later on this afternoon. We're not quite pinned the time down yet because we're quite busy today. But Simon Fletcher, let's get into the comments, mate.
I'll start with the preferred 11 stuff. So I've got a few here. Kay Brennan says, where's Fabinho? And then when people gave the preferred 11, I think everyone put Fabinho in. I don't think anyone put Fernandinho. I'll just read out a couple of the interesting ones that I thought. Okay. Paul Young says, Alisson, Trent, Laporte, Van Dijk, Robertson, De Bruyne, Fabinho, Chamberlain, Sterling, Bobby, Mane.
Sterling, Bobby, Mane.
With Chamberlain instead of David Silvers or your Bernardo Silvers.
I couldn't
Laporte
do that.
Laporte's injured, didn't he?
We did say, Ross, that it's totally okay to...
I did what I thought we were doing.
You asked the question, didn't listen to the answer, but it's fine. It's totally cool. I like Laporte. I really do think he's a top quality centre-half, and I'd maybe actually, you know what, if he was fit, I think maybe Van Dijk and Laporte would be a better centre-half partnership. It's where they both play the left side, don't they? That's the only thing. Van Dijk can do anything.
I think both of them are good enough that they can sort something out between them, couldn't they?
But you don't play a left-footed centre-half at right side. No. You just don't. It's one of the unwritten rules of football, isn't it? Right-footed centre-halves are fine playing the left side. Left-footed centre-halves don't go on the right side. Never. I don't think I could name one that has actually done that, to be honest with you. Anyway, Oxlade-Chamberlain, I couldn't put him in ahead of David Silva, personally.
I think you make a shout for Bernardo Silva as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
over Chamberlain. Current form of Chamberlain's been absolutely incredible, but yeah. To put them all in, we must have like... We can't play three.
We didn't ask them to do that, Ross. You can't just keep changing the
rules. I want to play three at the back now. Put Trent, Robbo and Van Dijk. Van Dijk's fine on his own. And then go... Aguero, Mane, Bobby, De Bruyne, Silva, Chamberlain up front.
I think we're still missing one.
Mane.
Yeah, okay. There we go. Sounds.
Or Sané.
We're playing a 3-4-3. Yeah, I like that. So Alisson, you got Trent.
Yeah.
You got Van Dijk, you got Robertson.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've been playing three at the back this season when we've had Lovren in. Fabinho.
Yeah. Got three.
Fucking hell, I tell you what. Could their team ever score if you put Fernandinho and Fabinho as your two midfielders? I'm not sure they could.
No, I want more goals.
Okay, right. So we want to give them a chance. Yeah. So Fabinho, Kevin De Bruyne, David Silva, Bernardo Silva for me.
Yeah.
Ooh. Nah, fuck Bernardo off and put Sterling in the midfield. Yeah. And then I'd have Mane, Salah, and I'm really sorry... Sergio, but Bobby's playing for me. Fuck yeah.
I reckon that's the most interesting one of the whole matchup, Sterling, Aguero or Firmino, because they're both so different to each other. I think Aguero's perfect for City, but Firmino's perfect for Liverpool. It's hard to choose between the two of them, isn't it?
That's the thing. The front three is the front three. It needs all three of them to be our front three. I don't think you can swap Aguero in.
Or you could take one of the Silvers out and put Bobby in the attacking midfield and put Aguero in front of him.
You could do, but Bobby's not that good there.
Yeah, well, just for clicks and tricks and
shit. Okay, well, let's do that then instead. Have we got any more comments, Si?
I'll go just quickly. We haven't got too much time. We'll talk about the Carabao Cup stuff. Johnny Walker says, great news about Neil taking over. Youth team deserve it and need the experience. No matter how tough, we'll be able to fully focus on Qatar and not worry about overworking first team players. And then a couple towards the end.
I didn't listen again, Johnny. I'm thinking about whiskey again. I'm sorry, mate. I know you're right, though.
And then on the stuff about that you've just read from Nick's Anfield, the team can't fly a team out after the semi final. Dan the man says, "Oh, that's a shame. FIFA should have allowed some lineup leeway for Liverpool." And then a couple. Joey Murray says, "All of the first team players will want to be in Qatar. They have a chance of silverware, so why would any of them want to play the Villa game?" And Rob D says, "All the first teamers who helped us win the Champions League and Super Cup deserve to be in Qatar to help us win the World
Cup." That's a really great point, actually, isn't it? And then you factor in the money that's available for each competition. I think it's something like 400k for winning the Carabao and 4 million for winning the Club World Cup. And you think, bloody hell, you know what I mean? One, even for just playing two games, you could win £4 million. We've still got three games if we get through against Villa to win 400 grand in the Carabao. The club really should be looking at that £4 million and going, I want every little bit of that, shouldn't they?
It's everything else. Like, you know, you get the badges, the chance to call yourself the best club in the world for, you know, obviously a season. It's a reward for winning the Champions League. You don't get into this every year. You get in the Carabao Cup, or whatever it's called, every year. And on a positive side, one of the comments is absolutely bang on, the fact that it's a good experience for the youth players to go and play in a high-level competitive compared to what they're used to. Even if they lose, they're going to learn something from it. They're going to have that experience to take away from them. And if they win, it'll be even better. They can play in semis.
And, I mean, listen, I know they're probably the Americans call themselves world champions after pretty much everything. I know they do it when they win the American League. They call themselves world champions after they win the Super Bowl. I know they do it in the baseball. I'm therefore assuming that they do it in the MLS as well. This would be actual real world champions where you've played against teams from every continent or something. So it'd be us and an American side claiming to be the world champions, hopefully.
Joint World Series winners.
There you go. Stop doing that, America. When you just win your league, stop calling yourself world champions. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter that nobody else plays American footy or Canada. And to be fair, you'd probably beat the Canadians in the CFL, but it is what it is. We've digressed massively. That is the end of the show. Don't forget to check out The Athletic. Use that 50% off code and use that 50% off by visiting www.theathletic.co.uk/redmennews. No ads, no annoying pop-ups over there and some great written content. Thanks very much for watching. Smash the like button, subscribe and click that notification bell. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.